Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And we're back for another edition of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
My name is Derek Diamond.
And joining us for a beginning segment here on the show is sitting over in the third seat. We have Mr. Joey Image himself.
Good morning, folks. How are you?
Morning. What side of the world are you on?
It's morning somewhere.
I'm in Aruba. I don't know. I'm in GTA 6. I'm in Vice City.
Yeah, speaking of GTA 6, the trailer just dropped a little while ago.
Yeah, less than an hour ago.
Yeah. So what do you think, Derek? What do you think about the return to Vice City?
I haven't played a GTA game since Vice City, but
what?
I will be returning to Vice City.
Oh, that's it. You're off the show. I'm replacing you.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
You know, it's
Come
funny.
On, I bought GTA 5 like six times, like PS3, PS4, PS. Yeah. Well, I didn't buy the PS5 version.
You know, I never PC. Finished it. I never finished it.
God, I did all three endings, and then I guess there's four endings. There's one for each character, and there's like a universal one or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, I still go back. I shouldn't say I go back and replay it. I go back and just drive around the car for a while.
Same That's thing the best with, like, thing about GTA is just driving around, doing
Same
random
thing with
stuff.
Days Gone. Like, I'll load up Days Gone and just drive around on the bike for a while.
And you know, it's funny. Just yesterday, you know, I have that. I fired up the PS2 and I was gonna play some TMNT, the game I bought at the Goodwill a while back, and it wouldn't load. And I tried cleaning the disc and everything, it still wouldn't load. So I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna pop in San Andreas. I just picked that up from the Goodwill few weeks ago, and it started right up, and that game's still really good. I think I played it for about 3 hours yesterday, and I only expected to be in there for about 10 minutes, but I just kept going.
I think GTA 3 is the only one I haven't played through fully. I played all the other ones at least once, like San Andreas I played like once, Vice City I was like addicted to, but GTA 5 I played through like at least 6 or 7 times. Yeah. Actually, Jay, I thought of you yesterday because I bought a VHS tape.
Oh, yeah?
I ordered one from Amazon, actually, which is wild. I didn't know if Amazon had VHS.
Let me guess. WrestleMania 3.
WrestleMania 15.
Oh, I was close, though. I was in the ballpark.
Yeah. Well, I watched 3 today. Oh, okay. Okay, that's where you got that from, I bet. No, I have a. They came out with a VHS box set, however long ago, that only has 1 to 14, and it's going on eBay for like $100. Wow. So I'm like, I wonder if I throw 15 in there, can I sell it for more than that? So in the case, there's a little blank spot where another tape would fit, but it wasn't, you know, it hadn't happened at the time when they released this box set. So I'm like, I wonder if I buy 15 and stick it in that empty space, can I sell it for like $150 or $120? So we'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, it was not bad.
It was $7 on Amazon for the VHS.
Oh, that's not bad at all. Mm-mm. What about you, no. Derek? How has your week been?
I was sick for most of it, so yeah, there's that. That but no, doing a lot better. Filmed a wedding Saturday. I did so much this weekend, it's tough to really keep track, but between filming a wedding, helping my wife out with her sister's bridal shower, which she's getting married in a couple of weeks, so it's been pretty breakneck speed here.
Wow. It wasn't the vid last week, was it? Or was it just a...
No, it was not. Oh, it was just good. A sinus infection.
Mushmouth in the chat room says, why didn't I read his list on the last thing where y'all did a list? I don't remember what it was. And I said, I must have missed it, so I'm sorry if I didn't read your list.
The list from the one episode that we did about the thing.
About the thing with the top five yeah. thing. But my week's been okay. I've been playing a lot of stuff. Like I said, reviewing POW tonight. Played that for a good bit over the last week. Played some San Andreas yesterday. What else did I play? I think that's about it. Just those two things over this last week.
I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty Mobile, which is weird because I don't play a lot of Call of Duty on PC. Like, my wife bought me the Backbone thing a while back, so... Actually, I mentioned it in the top five controllers, and I love this thing. But just I don't know. The other day, I just popped on Call of Duty Mobile with this thing, and it's great. And I'm good at it, which is weird.
You know, I don't really play mobile games too much. The only mobile game I have on my phone is Globe Glider, which is our mobile game partner. And if you like action adventure platformers, and we know you do, Globe Glider is for you. How was that for a segue? Make a donation to
official
game using our partnership. It is quick and easy. Just simply hit the donate button. Select Nerd Cave Retro as your referral partner to unlock sweet in-game prizes like an exclusive Nerd Cave Retro cape. So download Globe Glider now on the App Store or Google Play. So
that can help.
That's an official sponsor of our segment right now, which is weird news from Mr. Joey Amage, and I think I have a little thing here to play. Let me pick a thing to play for it here.
Do I have an intro song now?
Yeah, this will work. There we go. That works.
All right, so last time we did the topical Starfield thing. Starfield had just come out, and that genius stole a bunch of them and put his face all over social media. So... the other one, or I should say the next one that I found that is funny to talk about, is also topical because it involves wrestling, which, you know, directly ties into me. And it involves Randy Orton from WWE, who just returned last weekend. So also topical. So I'll just read the headline. It's so funny to me. WWE's Randy Orton paid someone $1,000 to level up his character in Elden Ring. Just so funny to me.
This is because, so weird. We talked about this on... I told you we talked about this on the Headliners episode of Open Micers.
Yeah, I had just heard about this like last week when I asked you about it, and it's hilarious.
I don't get the whole paying people to level your characters, because this is not a new thing. People used to do this all the time back in the day, especially like when WoW first started. People would just pay people to level your character. Like, why would you do that? Because if you start out with a level 60 character, like, you don't know how to play it.
Right.
Because you haven't been playing.
It's like people that used to buy, or probably still do, buy WoW accounts. Like, you could tell when they're in a raid, they don't know what's going on. And it's like the speculation is always like, oh, you must have bought that account because you don't know what you're doing. But the funny thing is there's two guys that used to be in WWE. There's a guy, one guy's name is Brendan Williams. The other guy's name is Mansoor Al-Shahail. And that's their real names. But they do Twitch streams together. So they got fired. They got hired together. They got fired together. They teamed together when they were there. They're still best friends, whatever. So one of them mentioned on the Twitch stream that that just out of, you know, randomly we're talking about video games one day, and Orton mentioned that he loves Elden Ring, but it's so freaking hard and it's brutal and blah blah blah. And he said it's brutal yet beautiful. So whatever, they thought nothing of it, whatever, you know, they, months later they got fired, blah blah blah. So then this thing pops up, this headline pops up, and they mentioned on the Twitch stream, well, you know, he came to us backstage one day saying how much he loved the game, but it was so brutal and hard. Like, we just left it at that. We never thought he would, like, it would come up in the gaming news that he went and paid somebody to do what he was complaining about. So, so the quote that, somebody, I guess this guy asked him about it. So the guy, Mansoor, who he was also Mansoor in WWE, he asked him about it after this, headline came out, or after this article came out, and and Orton said, and I quote, "Yeah, it's effing hard. I paid a guy $1,000 to give me infinite runes so I could just level 100 right away. I love that game though; it's awesome, but I can't deal with that BS. So I just paid a guy." Well, that's so funny. And then they did like a dramatic reenactment on their TikTok about it, which I haven't seen yet, but I assume it's got some kind of graphic of Orton like, "Hey guys, can you?" Take $1,000 for this?
Wish I had the money where I could drop $1,000 to just have somebody play my game for me.
Right?
Oh, yeah, I would do it for every game I own.
No kidding. Hey, Joe, we got a question for you in the chat room. Says,
I don't have the chat room open. Sorry,
since we have an authority on wrestling here, I would love to post this question. Why is Orange Cassidy the best wrestler of all time, and will he be under my Christmas tree?
Who said that?
Mushmouth.
Mushmouth?
I hope that's sarcastic, because I have been on many shows with him. He is a great wrestler and a great worker, for those that know the difference. But I would not call him the best. I've been on many shows with that guy. He used to be an ant. He was an ant. He just wore a green costume, and he was called Green Ant. And he had the big antlers and everything. Or the antennas,
like,
and everything.
I like how you say there's a difference between being a great wrestler and a great worker. When you say great worker, it's just kind of like, the kid works hard, but that's just code. Well,
yeah, it means differently. Like Hulk Hogan is a great worker, but not a great wrestler.
Yeah,
right.
I've also seen him be an ice cream cone, and there used to be a tag team called Los Ice Creams, and their masks were like a mask with a giant ice cream cone on top of it.
Wow.
So, but now he's Orange Cassidy. That's incredible. He's been Orange Cassidy for a long time. He is a great wrestler. He's a great worker, but I wouldn't say he's one of the best, just in my opinion. But I have been on many shows with that guy. And if you want him under your Christmas tree, I mean, I haven't talked to him in a while, but
I think Joey can make that happen. It'd be a Christmas miracle.
Have someone ship him to Mushmouth.
Oh, man. But back to the story of Randy Orton. I don't know. I just don't see the point in actually paying people to level your... I mean, because isn't the whole fun of the game is playing the game?
Learning it.
I mean, am I just an old man thinking that, or what?
No. Hey, we're the same age, man. A lot of the old... a lot of the fun for me is going through the story, which is like why I like stuff like Days Gone and like Last of Us, even like Legend of Zelda, stuff like that, because it's a story behind it.
Yeah.
It's not just like, hey, I'm level one, and here's $1,000. Now I'm level whatever it was, 100.
Yeah,
I think is what he said. I guess it's 100. Is 100 the max in that game?
I'm not sure.
For Elden Ring.
I have no idea.
I've never played it. I'm not a. I can't do the Souls games. I can't.
Me neither.
I bought Bloodborne, which I think is Souls 2. Maybe I bought that on PS4 because the cover art looked cool, and I bought it for $30, I think, and I sold it for 40 within 3 days. Like, I can't. Nice. This game is horrendous. I don't understand intentionally making it not fun.
My thing is, like, if he can give $1,000 to somebody to level up his character, why doesn't he give money to the developers to give his character the RKO?
That would be hilarious. Well, I guess he's already got that in 2K.
Yeah, true.
That'd be so
dang funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Mushmouth. He says, as an RPG guy, earning every level is a big thing. Me too. Yeah. I mean, it just hitting that level ding, you know, you actually feel...
Well, like, he earned them, just not directly.
That's why I love World of Warcraft so much. Like, man, when you level up, it just it feels like you earned something.
Like you did something, right.
Yeah.
And they just, or no, they didn't raise the level cap yet. The new expansion will raise the level cap in WoW.
You know.
From 70 to 80, which is now weird that Metzen's because they just back, didn't.
I just want to say that now that Metzen's back, I am saving my money because I want a gaming PC. I think I'm going to get back into Warcraft.
Oh, you got to tell me, man. I'm, I don't know his character name, but he's in our guild.
Oh,
with Scott
man.
Johnson and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a big secret. And I mean, I've been friends with the guy for a few years now, and I just never asked him, but I know it's a secret. I don't even know if he plays regularly. I know he did before he was back to work, but I haven't talked to him in a while. But yeah, man, you gotta let me know. I'll build you something when you come up here.
All right, I'm gonna have to do that because I really.
And we could build something small form factor too, so we could ship it cheaply.
Yeah, maybe I could carry it on the plane. And be like, it's not a bomb.
It's
I
not
swear.
A bomb. It's not a B word. I don't think you can say man. The word bomb on a plane.
But Joey,
you have to say it's not a B word.
We got to start wrapping this little section up, but thank you so much for coming on, man. We got Buddy the Beagle in the background.
Yeah.
And
yeah, he's right over here.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
All
and,
right, man.
Yeah,
we'll
always
see you again.
A pleasure.
We'll see you right here again next month. Hey, Merry Christmas to everybody.
Yeah,
up there.
You too, guys. I'll talk to you all soon.
All right, you have a good evening. And now it's just the two of us. Aw.
Oh. Sucks for you.
So you ready to jump into the news for this evening?
Let's do it.
And some of tonight's stories were submitted to us by I Am the Rampage and Armez Jackson. I need a good way to say Armez Jackson's name, like Armez Jackson.
Armez.
And if you have a story you'd like us to cover, send them to nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. And this first story is from tomsguide.com. Nintendo Switch 2 tipped for 2024 launch and new Mario Kart detailed. The currently unannounced Nintendo Switch 2 has once again been tipped for a release in 2024, and it's reportedly set to receive a new 3D Mario game and a new installment in the ever-popular Mario Kart series. Zippo, a leaker with a reasonable track record of accurate information, has suggested via their blog that Nintendo's follow-up to the Switch will launch next year. The supposed insider doesn't offer an exact release window, but the previous Switch 2 rumors have suggested that it will launch the second half 2024. Says, we're taking this with a grain of salt, but he has previously leaked Nintendo games, including Metroid Dread, and everybody, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. He also states that we'll launch alongside a new 3D Mario game, which I guarantee you is going to be Odyssey 2. And there could be the long, it could be Mario Kart, X. So, wait a minute. So are we skipping 9 or what are we doing?
Maybe it was a typo.
Maybe. So I would think Mario Kart 9 is going to be. So that's some of my predictions from last week. There's a leak from a pretty reputable leaker. So I think I got a couple of notches on the belt after last week.
We'll see. I mean, I'm surprised that this came out so soon after we did our prediction show. I like the idea of this Super Mario Kart Ultimate, like kind of giving it the Smash Brothers treatment. Would be really cool, but I would save that for the 10th Mario Kart game.
Yeah.
Not doing it for 9 seems kind of random. Like, I think 10 should be a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm still going to say that I'm not 100% sold on this 3D Mario game being Mario Odyssey 2. It very well could be. Or they might do something completely different.
Either
if that
way.
Happens, then we'll both be right.
Yeah, I mean, either way, I'm gonna play.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah, same.
No doubt about that.
What do you think of just calling it the Switch 2? Because to me, it just seems kind of bland.
I think they should call it Super Switch. Just go back to the old days of like the NES
Super Nintendo
and the Super
Switch.
Nintendo. Just call it the Super Switch. It rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah, like Switch 2 is just like.
Yeah,
just kind of blah.
What you call it, Super Switch? Now there, that's something I want to play.
Sounds like the name of a disco song from the 70s.
Oh yeah, Sunshine 2 or Gaia 3.
Ooh, Sunshine 2 would be pretty interesting.
That would be pretty. We haven't seen a sequel to Mario Sunshine 2. That would be pretty great.
Yeah. Cause I love Sunshine.
Yeah, Sunshine's great. And that you know, that what's that thing called?
The Flood?
The Flood. The Flood mechanic was really cool. I liked that game.
Mm-hmm. Another game that I think could get the remaster treatment.
Yo, absolutely. 100%.
A Mushmouth also says there was an immediate quality drop after Joey Image left.
Huh.
And I totally agree.
Oh. Bye.
But yeah, we'll see what happens with this. I mean, it's looking more and more likely that we're going to get the second Switch in 2024.
Yeah, I think by the end of next year, we will have it.
Next up, we have a web story from NintendoLife.com. Atari 50 is getting more games via free updates, 12 dropping next week, which this was posted this past Thursday, so this week. Atari has announced that the stupendous compilation Atari 50 The Anniversary Collection will be getting even more games via several free content updates. The first of these is launching on December 5th, which if you're watching live is tomorrow, and will bring 12 Atari 2600 titles to the collection, comprised of prototypes, homebrews, and official titles. Future planned updates have been confirmed to include even more games, along with additional concept art and behind-the-scenes interviews with industry legends, expanding the already excellent timeline from the birth of the arcade title Computer Space in 1971 to the death of the Atari Jaguar in 1996. As for which games might be included, Atari has left some cryptic hints in its Twitter post, two of which may well be Basketball and Steeplechase, but we're personally hoping for classics like Joust, Pitfall, and Frogger, along with maybe a few licensed gems like The Empire Strikes Back, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and of course, the legendary E.T. the Extraterrestrial. I'd do it just to get a reaction like that, like just for a laugh. Like, why not?
I'm going to have to go ahead and get this Atari 50.
Yeah, I'm going to also.
Because it seems to be well worth the money. And Atari really seems to be getting back into the game, which the next story is also about Atari. So we want to roll right into that one.
Go for it.
From newsjournal.com, Atari CEO says company is focused on retro gaming. Atari CEO Wade Rosen insists that the company is committed to retro games. The firm became a household name when they released the Atari 2600 in 1977. However, by the early 2000s, Atari had fallen into obscurity. But he told GamesIndustry.biz, as an organization, when I came on board, the question was, what can we do better than anyone else in the world? And we're not in a state to really compete with Microsoft, Sony, or Nintendo, nor do we want to. So when we looked and asked what we could do better than anyone, retro was the thing that jumped out to us, at least at this stage in our history. So we just decided to be as great as we could be at this very specific thing, and that's what we've been focused on. And thank you for realizing that. Like, that jump back into giving us updated versions of, you know, the older games, the really good games that were out that people loved back then, and then dip your toe into remakes of that older stuff. And Atari could really be a great publisher, and they've been making some really good decisions lately. So I'm riding Atari's coattails on this one. I think they're going to do some great things in the next few years.
You could say you're buying what they're selling.
Oh yeah, I'm smelling what they're cooking.
as another great wrestler once said. I'm with you. I think Atari realizes what they need to do. And that's, I mean, it's common sense. You placate to your strengths, and that is their strength.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, could they remaster and maybe remake stuff down the line? Absolutely. But I think what they're doing right now is smart, because yet, is Atari as known as Nintendo or as relevant? No, but people do know the name Atari.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think this is a great way to reintroduce their brand to the older generation, mm-hmm. and to introduce themselves to the younger generation.
Just be great at the things you were great at, and and move forward from there. And then start with the merchandising. You know, we'll see people walking around with Atari t-shirts again, you know, in a couple of years. So that would be really nice to see Atari make a comeback.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it was such a huge thing when I was a kid, and then it just went away.
Yeah, I still remember when I was a kid, my uncle having an Atari, and it didn't work because this was probably like 98 or 99 when I saw it for the first time. But, you know, I still knew of it. So I like what they're doing.
I still have mine. I don't play it because I can't hook it up to any TVs I have because it doesn't have the antenna prongs anymore on the back of the TV, so can't play it. So it just kind of sits in the little case over there.
But it's a good thing for you to have, though.
Yeah.
Our last story comes to us from, funny enough, GhostbustersNews.com. A rare lost piece of Ghostbusters video game media has been found. Being found and uploaded by YouTuber Ginger Happy Gaming, 9-minute long presentation, which was a rare glimpse of internal marketing for Activision's video game adaptation of 1989's Ghostbusters 2. It lays out the success of the franchise up until the release of the slime-filled sequel, along with a rare cut of the music video to Bobby Brown's On Our Own, that in addition to clips of the films and the real Ghostbusters animated series, includes footage of what appears to be the Amiga release of the Ghostbusters 2 video game. I need to watch this when we're done. While the quality isn't the best, only being filmed off the television, but with the VHS tape previously being left in a warehouse, bracing the elements as Ginger Happy Gaming mentions within the video, a digital remaster is currently being worked on. Of course, once that comes to light, we'll give it a full feature, so stay tuned. I love stories like these.
I loved when they find cool stuff like this, because this was just found in an abandoned storage unit, this random VHS tape, and it contains all this cool stuff on it.
I know, like I miss that type of marketing from video games, because, you know, I've talked about the tapes that Nintendo did for Donkey Kong Country and for the Nintendo 64. So like, I knew there had to be other ones, but I had no idea there was one for Ghostbusters.
Yeah. But just imagine how much other cool stuff is out there just waiting to be discovered in an abandoned storage unit.
They should make a reality show about that.
Yeah, maybe they should.
They call it Storage Wars.
Yeah.
And have people bid on them.
But that's going to bring us to the end of the news. Do we have time to go through this month in video game history?
We can save it for next week if you want.
Okay, yeah, let's save it, and we'll move on into... Actually, before we go into the review for tonight, Derek, you want to do our Patreon shout-outs?
Absolutely. We want to shout-out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/NerdCaveRetro. We want to shout-out YupFed, a.k.a. Knife, James, a.k.a. @JimboJr. on our Discord, Travis Martin, Raven, Danny House, Justin Nispel, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mr. B-Rez Coffee himself, Mike Eveland, Tyler Watson, Axeblade07, Armez Jackson. I'll work on an intro for Armez. I'll have something next week.
All right.
Carlos Longoria, a.k.a. I Am the Rampage.
Rampage.
Steph Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Mr. Joey Image, and of course, Mama Diamond herself, Donna Diamond.
Mama Diamond.
Thank you all so much for your continued contributions and keeping the lights on for us here at the podcast. And for as little as a dollar a month, you know, I found a dollar in change laying around my house the other day. So chances are it's in y'all's houses too.
Yeah.
So yeah, if for as little as a dollar a month, you get early access to our monthly bonus episodes, which for the most part is a commentary track. Like this past month, we did a commentary track for a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. We've also done full-length movies like Transformers the Movie, Double Dragon, the Super Mario Brothers movie, the live-action one, not the good one. animated series like Real Ghostbusters, Darkwing Duck. You know, the list is near endless on what we've done.
You know, I was thinking about for this month, we were talking about doing the Star Wars holiday special. And I was like, what if we get into it and I just... I physically cannot finish the holiday special. Do we just put out like a half of a commentary track, or what do we do?
We'll call it the meltdown.
I mean, we haven't decided 100% yet if we're going to do it, but I don't know. It seems like it would be a fun thing to do, but at the same time, I don't know if I can take it.
My thing is, we made it through Double Dragon, and we've made it through the Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, but Double Dragon is freaking is like Citizen Kane compared to the holiday special.
Almost anything is Citizen Kane compared to the holiday special. I'll leave it up to you and Wally. Like, if y'all want to do it, I will suffer through it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let Wally decide. So if Wally decides he wants to do the holiday special, I will suffer through it.
I don't know how I feel about putting our fate in the hands of our fact checker.
He might do it just to torture us.
Probably. I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And for new patrons, be sure to send us your social media info, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, so we could give you a proper shout out.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And tonight, I'm going to be talking about Prisoners of War was released in Japan as, let's see if I can pronounce this, Datsugoku Prisoners of War. It's a side-scrolling beat-em-up produced by SNK and originally released as an arcade game in 1988. A home version was released for the Nintendo Entertainment System on June 30th of 1989 in Japan and September in North America. It takes place during the Cold War, where players control a duo of military prisoners who break free from their cell to relentlessly fight their way into the main base of their adversaries in order to eliminate their leader and escape with their lives. Now, the arcade version was two-player. In the original arcade version, you play, there are two players. One is in a navy blue guerrilla warfare uniform named Snake, and the other is in a blood red uniform named Bart. And in the NES version, you only play as Bart, but you're in blue or green, like bluish green. Oh, yeah.
There are some changes that like they've made between versions of games that make no sense to me. And knowing not as much about the game as you do, I can say that honestly makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Well, I guess they had to combine them both to make them into one character. Since you only get to play as one.
Yeah, true.
But I don't know. I think they probably could have made this a two-player on the NES. I mean, Double Dragon was a two-player. I don't understand why they couldn't have made this
one. This looks
like
the perfect two-player game for the NES, and I'm surprised that it's not.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. They did weird stuff like that. I mean, it's kind of like the Super Nintendo version of Final Fight. You know, they took one whole player out of the game, and you can only play one-player games. There was no two-player mode, which there absolutely could have been. Like, and I don't know why they didn't. It's just weird.
It'd be a question I'd want to ask a developer if we ever had the chance to interview any of them.
Yeah.
But like, it might be an easy answer, but I'm just curious to know why.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could, because you look at a game like Final Fight, that's not as big of a game as like Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past, or Earthbound. I mean, they could fit those games onto the chip. Why couldn't they fit, you know, Guy, however you pronounce it, on Final Fight? Like, I don't know. I don't understand.
Who knows?
But yeah, Joey, it was not two player co-op for the NES. I never had a second player to play with anyway when I was a kid, unless I was at a sleepover or something. So yeah, there was no two player aspect on it. But some of my notes for the game, this game still, to at least to me, this game looks and sounds great. SNK, we've played some pretty good, or I don't know if you have, but some of the SNK games that I've reviewed for the show here, SNK was on par with Konami as far as music and graphics go. The music is definitely top notch on the game.
Yeah, and I would echo that sentiment. You know, from the gameplay I watched, there's a reason why that style of music is timeless.
Yeah,
because it still sounds just as good in 2023 as it does in, you know, the late 80s or the early 90s. And so I echo that sentiment 100%.
And they definitely did a good job of making it not aggravating to have to hear it over and over again. Like, that was a skill, to be able to make music that's catchy and doesn't get old, because you're going to be hearing it a lot playing these levels over and over again.
And it looks really good too. Like, the colors really pop,
mm-hmm.
you know, which I think is, again, that I think that graphic style is timeless too, because you look at modern day indie games that look like a mm-hmm. like an upgraded version of the NES or Super Nintendo.
Yeah, and this game, even back then, I thought that, you know, this game looked great. Just like you said, the colors pop, the music was great. It is a little bit slower than I remember it being. But, you know, we've come a long way since, you know, beat 'em ups on the NES. So if you're used to playing beat 'em ups now, like if you play Shredder's Revenge and then go back and play this, it's going to be like, oh my God, I'm playing in mud. Like, it's so slow.
Is it slow as Donatello in TMNT?
Yeah. It's almost like playing TMNT. And when it does that slowdown, when there's too many characters on the screen all at once.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah, it's a pretty slow game. But, I mean, it's still a solid beat 'em up. It's got some great power-ups and weapon pickups in the game. Like, you can, as you're going through the level, you can, like, go into, like, rooms, or there'll be, like, trucks parked. And you can go up into the back of the truck and fight everybody in the truck or whatever. And you get a power up while you're in there, like, you know, brass knuckles, or, you know, refill on your life, things like that. And then other characters come out and they have knives that you can knock out of their hands, grab the knife and throw it. And that's a one hit kill. You got other characters that come out with like machine guns, and you can beat them up and take their machine guns. So there's always, like, there's a little bit of a variety throughout the levels.
Yeah, which I think is a good thing. And, you know, like, what I like about those beat 'em ups, you mentioned it being slower. It's kind of tough to find that happy medium, because I don't know if you felt the same way about Shredder's Revenge, but I thought that game moved at too fast of a pace.
Yeah,
because it was like like, I started it, and then the next thing I knew, like, it was over.
Yeah, I mean, I bought that game, and then like an hour later, I was finished. It was like, wow, that didn't take long at all.
But I mean, it's to be expected with that time frame. You know, the beat 'em ups from that era kind of move at a more methodical style of pace, which I don't think is bad, because you get, if it's a good beat 'em up, I'll preface this with that, you get more enjoyment out of it because it's not over as quick.
Yeah, and Joey says there's a bunch of scenes in Rygar where everything lags a lot because of too many sprites on the screen at the same time. Yeah, that was just a staple of the NES when there were just too many enemies on screen at once. Everything would just start to slow down, and you'd go from, you know, 60 frames a second to two. So that was just, that was par for the course with the NES.
It's like when you're on a Zoom call with like horrible connection speed.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
and this is, this is another one of those games like Contra where it's, you know, quote unquote Nintendo hard, because you only get like three lives and a couple of continue. I don't know if the continue, I think that you only get like two or three continues for the game, but there is a cheat code that gives you 21 lives, and then it becomes the easiest game ever. So if you want to get through the game pretty quick, and you were talking about, you know, we were talking about Shredder's Revenge, where it took maybe an hour and 15 minutes to beat that game when I first got it. And there's like, what, 25 levels to go through in that game. You just fly through everything. But this game, like, it just goes to show, like, how slow the game is. There's, like, five levels in this game, and you can beat it in under an hour, like, 45 minutes. If you just put in that cheat code and go straight through.
I was going to ask you if you broke out the Game Genie for it, but
no,
just,
I just
a code.
See, this is one of the few games I could actually defeat as a kid regularly, and I played it a lot when I was a kid, because I had a Electronic Gaming Monthly that had the cheat code for the 21 lives in the game. So that's how I beat it as a kid, and that's how I beat it as an adult, because you put that cheat code in and you're just, boom, you're just going to go through the whole thing.
Wasn't that the greatest feeling when you'd pick up a magazine and you'd be reading it and you'd find a code for a game you're playing, and you're like, yes.
But it's just like Contra. If you try to go through the game with just regular no cheat code, it's really tough to get through the game. But you got that cheat code, you're going to just blaze right through, especially once you know, because the toughest enemies in the game are the bosses. But once you know the pattern, their patterns, like, you just fly right through it.
Joey says Zoom with four people trying to watch a movie together.
Yeah, that sounds like us doing Scream. If anybody listened to our Scream commentary, we literally had to restart four times because of the lag.
We saw a lot of Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, we saw that whole 15-minute opening segment like three or four times.
Yeah.
And the one thing I didn't, here's one of the things I did not like about the game, and I don't remember this as a kid, but it was very obvious, blatant in your face as an adult, that three-quarter view, very similar to Double Dragon. It's not like a straight-on platformer. It's that, you know, three-quarters view. But you have to be on, like, the same line as the person you're attacking, or you can't hit them. But the messed up part about it is they can still hit you. which makes, you know, the hitboxes can be a bit wonky until you get used to that. And it drove me nuts at first because I was like, this is so stupid. But once I kind of got used to it, it didn't really bug me that much anymore. But it is still one of those things that's like, why can't I hit them, but they could sure as hell still hit me?
That's where the evil developers come in with their little trolling idea for the fan, just like, you know what, we're gonna throw this little nugget in here.
Yeah, I hate that type of stuff.
That I get it if that's the type of gameplay that you want to have, but make it equal on both sides.
Yeah,
if that
I mean,
makes sense,
because that it's really hard, like, when you're, because of how slow you're, like, if you were blazingly fast across the screen, like when you're playing, Ninja Turtles, the arcade game, or Manhattan Project, it's very, because that game is so kind of fast paced, you can just jump in the air and, like, you know, move and kick kick people and punch, what, you know, hit with your weapons and everything from pretty much wherever you are. But with this game, it's like you can't really jump. Well, you can do a jump kick, but you have to hit both buttons at the same time because of the two button, you know, the AB, you only have the AB button on the NES. So they had to kind of get creative with being able to do a jump kick. So you can't really jump in the game. Like, there's no jump button. So you just have to kind of walk to where, you know, somebody, and the enemies are faster than you. So you got to kind of cut them off at the pass, you know, when they're walking around, and you're trying to get on the same like line of sight, I guess, where they are and hit them, but they end up hitting you first, and you want to throw the controller the first couple of times it happens.
So there's an area of strategy that you've got to have.
Yeah. Once you get used to it, it doesn't really bug you anymore, but it does take a little getting used to, because that is like, it's aggravating.
Oh, Joey asks if you've ever streamed POW.
No, I have not. I thought about it, but I hate streaming stuff when I first play it after years of not playing it, because I don't want to be seen sucking very badly at video games, which I do. So now that I know I can play through it and beat it again, I'll probably stream it sometime soon.
Oh, you should.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a great game, but it doesn't take that long to beat. So it would be something to pop on for an hour and play through it and then, you know, have a nice little playthrough video.
I like games like that, though. You know, as I know we've mentioned this on the show before, but growing up being a huge fan of RPGs, now I prefer to play games that, you know, might take 45 minutes or an hour.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just take in a little bit of time, play through it, and you're good to go.
And, you know, I almost bought a complete inbox of this game when I was in New Jersey hanging out with our friend Joey. And Joey, what was the name of that shop we went to where I got the Super Mario Brothers 3? Because it came down to between if I wanted to buy this or Super Mario Brothers 3, which I'm glad that I made the purchase I made. I still want to get a copy of this complete inbox. But I bought the Super Mario Brothers 3 at that shop, and it ended up being the Mario 3 variant with Brothers over the hand. So they didn't know what they had, and I ended up paying $30 for it, and it's worth like $200-$300 now. Digital Press was the name of that shop. So if you're from New Jersey, there's probably still a complete inbox POW sitting in the shelf there that I was going to buy. He says it's in Clifton, New Jersey.
It's a great city name, Clifton.
Yeah, Clifton.
It's fun to say.
See, some other notes here. Solid side scroller. Sorry, I started laughing because I read my last line here. We'll get to that in a second. Solid side scroller, but very repetitive. Graphics are fantastic, but the level designs are all very similar. And yeah, if you go through the game, it's all pretty the same. There's not a whole lot of difference between each level. They all kind of look the same, but that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's from a game from that time, it's to be expected.
Yeah, I mean, you only got like 5 or 6 levels to go through, so you know they could have thrown right. some different stuff in there, but yeah. And I read a couple of reviews where a lot of people were saying like it felt lazy. The game felt lazy because it was a lot of repeated stuff over and over again. But I don't know. I guess I must just have a lot of nostalgia for this game, because I did play this a lot as a kid, and I can kind of overlook that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if that's really the only thing that people complain about, game's not doing too bad.
Yeah. And the last thing here I wrote, you get... And I say this in quotations, and please don't cancel me for saying this. It says, congratulation at the end of the game. And that just cracks me up. And that's what was referred to as English back in the day. Because I think it was Ghostbusters said the same thing at the end of the game. Congratulation. Like, thanks.
for a split second when I was reading your notes earlier, I'm like, what does he mean by it? And it hit me and I'm like, oh, okay. I get it.
A little language barrier there for
yeah. But that's okay.
I mean, that happened a lot back in the day because, you know, they would make these games in Japan and they probably just had, you know, they needed to localize it for English speaking, you know, game, you know, put it in North America, and they probably got, you know, some guy that, you know, barely spoke any English, like, hey, you know some English, come translate this. And he would do his best and it would come out with broken English. And I don't know, just kind of like Jimmy and Bimmy. Like, that still makes me laugh every time I see that.
Yeah. So what were your overall thoughts on this game as far as like a number score?
As far as a number score, I mean, it's not the greatest game in the world, but I find it to be a lot of fun to go back and play. So I would give it at least a 7. You know, it's a good solid C for an NES game. You know, is it as good as Super Mario Brothers 3 or anything like that? No, but I honestly think it's better than Double Dragon. I think Double Dragon's just kind of broken. I went back and played it again not too long ago, and that game's just, it's hard. Hard to play. It's evil.
I'm convinced that game is evil.
Yeah. But some of the let's see, on MobyGames.com, the average score of the game is 66%. Let's see, Questicle.net gave it a 75%. Top Secret gave it 100%. Electronic Gaming Monthly gave it a 73%. All Game Guide, 60%. Ultimate Nintendo Guide to the NES Library gave it a 60%. And Retro Game Reviews gave it a 50%. So it's hovering above the 50% mark. So it leans more into the good game category. You know, it's a solid side scroller, and if you like these types of games, you know, it's worth playing, I think.
And that's the impressions that I got from watching the gameplay as well. You know, like, it does it look amazing? No, but if you like your side scrolling beat 'em ups, it seems like it would be worth a shot.
Yeah, and like I said, this is still one of my favorite NES games. I'm still on the hunt for a complete in-box copy of this game just because I just want to have it. Because, like I said, this is one of the few games I could actually beat as a kid. So, and I destroyed this game over and over again. So when I would get frustrated with like Ninja Gaiden or something that I just couldn't beat, I would go play this and finish it and actually feel like I accomplished something.
But that's cool though, and I'm surprised it took you this long to review it, because I remember you mentioning it a long time ago,
and it's been on my list here for a long since we started the show, and I don't know, I just never really got around to it. And then last week I was like, it was in my I have a copy of it, but it was in my what's this thing called, OpenEMU library, and I use OpenEMU for my emulation, which is a really good software if you have a Mac or mm-hmm. Apple device. But I had it in there, and I just fired it up and started playing it, and I ended up beating it after like 45 minutes. I was like, might as well go ahead and review it for this week.
It's funny how, like, you know, we've been doing this show now for 6 years, and there's still games that we can think of like, oh, well, we haven't reviewed those yet.
Yep. Oh, there's so many still on my list that I still need to get to. So don't worry about us pod fading. We still got plenty of content to get to.
Yeah, we're just scratching the surface.
Yep. But yeah, that's my review for POW. I give it a thumbs up. Go give it a shot.
Fantastic.
So next week, you're doing a Christmas-themed game.
I am. I'm getting in the Christmas spirit. Yeah. I know a while back you reviewed Home Alone 1. I'm going to be reviewing Home Alone 2, which I might be in the minority, and I might get kicked off the show for saying this, but I like Home Alone 2, the movie, better than 1.
I enjoy it, but I still like the first one. It edges it out. Not by much, yeah. But they're both, to me, enjoyable at about this. I could sit and watch either one and be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited to try it out. I've never played the game before, but like I said, I just wanted to get in the Christmas spirit. And I figured, why not review a Christmas game?
Awesome. So that's going to be fun.
That'll be fun.
Maybe I'll watch the movie before next week, too.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the first one not too long ago, and it's still a must watch.
Oh yeah,
but both movies are.
Yeah, I think it was Friday night or Saturday night. We were watching a movie. I got to pick the Christmas movie for the night, and it was out of Home Alone or Christmas Vacation, and I had to go with Vacation. I had to. But Home Alone.
I haven't watched that. I haven't done my annual watching a Christmas Vacation yet, but there's so still good. Time.
Shitter was full. but that's going to bring us to the end of the episode. Derek, what's going on with the Derek Diamond Experience?
So I've dropped the episode for this week a little bit later than usual. I actually dropped it right when we started this podcast. It's with an actor named Teo Pinglis, who is mostly known for being a soap opera actor. From Days of Our Lives and General Hospital. But the cool thing is he just launched his own podcast called Lost Treasures. And it's like an audio drama where he's reading stories that he wrote about an archaeologist like traveling to like the Nile River and the Egyptian pyramids and things like that. So
that's cool.
It's kind of like Indiana Jones meets an old radio drama.
Dude, speaking of Indiana Jones, I did not get to see Dial of Destiny in the theater, but I did watch it on Disney Plus on Saturday. Why didn't anybody tell me how good that movie was? Holy crap.
I thought I mentioned it.
Dude, I loved it.
It was really good.
To the point, I'm going to buy the Blu-ray just so I can have it and hug it and squeeze it.
Yeah, it was much better than I expected. Because, you know, after Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, I went in with pretty low expectations, which I think helped
me.
But I really enjoyed Dial of Destiny.
Dude, if you just forget that Kingdom of the Crystal Skull never happened, and you look at this as the true sequel to Last Crusade, this is a perfect four-part journey.
It felt like an old summer blockbuster movie.
Yep. It was an old-fashioned adventure movie, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you.
Oh, no. It's all good. Yeah, if you want to check out the podcast, head over to linktree.com/TDiamondPodcast.
And go check out the Open Micers podcast at Open Micers on Twitter and Instagram. We just dropped our nominees for Guest of the Year on the on our website, openmicers.com. So if you're a listener, go over there, look at our nominees, and if you want to vote, you got to be a patron of the Open Micers podcast. But the winner of Guest of the Year is going to get an Open Micers Guest of the Year t-shirt and a rotisserie chicken.
Because you have to get a rotisserie chicken.
I mean, it's the Open Micers. They have to get a rotisserie chicken to be the winner.
I meant to send a picture in the group chat, but whenever I was shopping on Saturday, I passed by a rotisserie chicken and I just went.
But we've had some really good guests the last couple of months, and tonight's episode is going to be insane, and I can't wait to see what happens. But Mr. JP Leonard, who created the rotisserie chicken meme for the show, is returning, as well as Tyler Arsenault, and me and Jacob. Neither of us can pronounce his name correctly because Jacob keeps calling him Marcinio. And during our Thanksgiving Patreon special, I called him Taylor because I had hot sauce brain when I was trying to say his name. So poor guy just can't catch a break. But he's one of the nominees. So go check it out at Open Micers, Twitter, and Instagram.
Oh, real quick, I didn't ask you, how was your guys' show on Friday?
It went fantastic. It could not have gone any better. The place was packed. Everybody was there to see some comedy. We both killed it, and luckily we filmed each other's sets, so I'm going to use that to further my career, because you could not ask for a better crowd, a better stage setup. It was awesome, and it lit a fire under me to actually get back out and start doing more comedy after that.
Oh, good. Yeah, I hate that I couldn't make it, but I'm glad. I saw Jacob's picture on Facebook, and I was surprised at how packed the place was, but I mean, Vinyl looks, it looks great since they remodeled it.
Yeah, that place is a barn, so it's hard to fill that place up, but it was pretty full. I think it was about 80% full, they said.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was a good night. It was a great night. I wish you could have gone, but I know you were sick, but next time you'll have to be there.
Well, as Terrence Howard said in Iron Man, next time, baby.
Yeah, next I'll sneak you in the back door or something. Yeah, get you in the side door so you can come see. But I think that's going to do it for this week. Anything else before we walk out the door?
No, I don't think so.
Well, if you want to email us, you can email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. Nerdcaveretro.com is our link tree. That includes all of our social media, our Patreon, our merch shop. We have a Cash App and PayPal buttons on there. So if you don't want to do Patreon, but you still want to give us a little cheese, go Cash App us some money, PayPal us some money, or just go to ncrmerch.com. It's Christmas time. Get some nerdy stuff for your peoples. T-shirts, hats, stickers, magnets, bags, mugs, whatever your nerdy little heart desires. Follow us on social media at Nerd Cave Retro, and please leave us a review and or a 5-star rating on all podcasting platforms. So please, Derek, tell them what it's all about.
May the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.
Yes.
Come out to the coast. We'll get together, have a few laughs.
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.
Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at brezcoffeeco.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself, or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast.
Or the Dragon's Breath roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast.
They have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to brezcoffeeco.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.